several key points here. And Habakkuk is just a short three chapters right there, but I want everybody to see what he's talking about as he opens up in chapter 1 right there. He says, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. He says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. I think each and every one of us today can relate to that when we look at our society, when we look at the world around us. We often ask this question, how long, Lord? How long must we see this? We see all the wrongs, we see all the wrongdoings right in front of us, and it hurts our hearts, Lord. We see all these things happening right in front of us. We're ready for you to come on that cloud. We're ready to be called up. Habakkuk's complaint right there. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, as we come to your message, Lord, we know that your timing, Father God, is not ours. Lord, we know, Lord, that we're to be faithful, Father God, to always keep our eyes on you, Lord. And Father God, with so much going around us, Lord, it's always important that we do just keep our eyes on you. Lord, we see what the prophet went through, Father God, and what he's seeing, but Lord, you answer him, Father God, and you just like you answer us in your prayers when we pray to you and ask. Father, I ask, Lord, that you be with each and every person in this church, dear God, as we start new, we start afresh, just like we've talked about. That God, that we be on the plan that you want us to be on and not on our own, Lord. That we're growing every day by spending time with you. Lord, we can all relate to what Habakkuk says. And Father God, I ask, Lord, that you would just watch over, Lord, protect, keep your hands on us, Father God. Lord, as we just take these next few minutes, Father, help us to see your answer and how you answer our prayers. Lord, be with us. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Keep us right where we need to be for you, Father God. To always be your hands and feet. To always be on the lookout, Father God. Always be able to share your word, Father God. To invite somebody, Father. To be the example you've called us to be, Father. We all know that in our hearts, Lord. That's what we need to do. Lord, be with us, Father God, as we look at your word. As we plant it in our hearts. Father, these things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. The first thing that jumped out to me was, how long, Lord, must I call for help? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Why does God allow us to see iniquity in ourselves a lot of times, you reckon? It's to keep us humble, right? Number one, keep us humble. Does it make our salvation all the more sweeter? It does, right? Makes us appreciate that, what Jesus did on the cross for us. Why does God allow us to see iniquity in others? To show us what we might have been ourselves, maybe? To see the wickedness of sin? that we may pass by it and hate it and not indulge in it ourselves? What about to admire God's grace when He saves sinners? Last week, I spoke to y'all about King Solomon. We were in Ecclesiastes for just a little bit. Now, I told you there's a time for everything. The Bible states it. Time for everything. You can go back and look yourself. And the biggest point that I missed last week was I talked to y'all about there's always a time to really take your time into things. And that's when it comes to spending time with God. We really need to be patient and not in a hurry. We go through life with a checklist. We talked about that, and it's very true. But I'll make fun of myself. I'm not John Thrillkill when it comes to home improvements. I'm not anywhere close. Now, I can go hang some mean lights in a house, and I've done that for several of y'all, and I will do the best job possible. I ain't going to leave, because last thing I want to do is fall out. You know, that'd be a bad thing, right? So I want to make sure that thing's secure, just right, everything's tight. I'm 100% happy. There's nothing else I could have done. But when it comes to my own house, a lot of times I tend to get in a hurry, and I tend to say good enough, and where I should measure twice, I measure once, or maybe not at all. Maybe I just guess. You ever done this? It's about that wide. Lay it down. Mark that. No, you wouldn't, but I have before. I get in a hurry. So Tanya tasked me with hanging this bedroom door in one of the back bedrooms in the other house. And we never see it. And I thought, okay, I'll go by. We'll buy this door. So I ran to Lowe's. I found the cheapest door I could find. And I picked it up, and I put it on the blue thing, and I rolled it home. And I told Tanya, it's perfect. It'll fit. So all I got to do is add on these little brackets. We just hang it in there. It'll shut. So hung it up. I thought I had the right measurement. Put the brackets on, hung the door up, shut it. It goes, doing, 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 come right back. I'm like, oh, my gosh. This thing's like 1 inch off up here. And I'm thinking, well, the house is settled, so I'm going to have to, yeah, this is going to be good. And Tiny's shaking her head. Oh, come on. No, no, no. So, boy, I ripped that thing with the skill saw and put it back up. I said, this has got it. It ought to be perfect. It wasn't. And Tanya, I don't know if your wife has a voice for you that she says, you know, Michael, you did it again. You didn't measure twice. I knew it. I knew you should have done that. I told you we should have just called John. And I said, well, John's too expensive. I can't afford him. So you get where I'm getting at. It was a total bomb because I didn't take my time. I ended up having to take it back down and redo everything again and get it right and take my time. Thank goodness Tanya's not in here. I know. Oh, good. Even better. So, the point is, God opens up doors for us too. He does. The door that God opens will never contradict His word. The door that God opens will be accompanied by confirmation. And a lot of times, in the door that God opens will require you to depend on Him. A lot of times, we don't understand, but we know that God is in control. Habakkuk's complaint right there. Therefore, he's seeing injustice all around him. This is just his complaint. We're just right there in 1 through 4. But when I read that this week and I had contemplated it and I'd studied it and looked at the words, why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate the wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before us. There's strife, conflict abounds. I was reminded of Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. You don't have to turn there. I marked it in my Bible. It says, listen to God's words. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. We have to remember that we serve a Savior, a risen Savior, that has it all under control. Now, a lot of times we see things, we see injustices, we see wrongdoings, and we don't understand. But our faith in Jesus Christ is what we do understand. To know that God has a plan. That God has a way. That is where our eyes should be. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. Look at Lord's answer right here on 5 through 11. He says, this is the Lord's answer to Habakkuk. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. Can you relate to that? Amen, you can. Has God ever taken the situation that you would seem that would have never ended and turned it into a blessing in your life? We always have to be on the point to look to God for those things when it's happening right in front of us. Is everybody's life perfect? No, it's not. Not at all. Look at what he says right there. He says, I am raising up the Babylonians. And he even describes them, that ruthless, the impetuous people who sweep across the old earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. Verse 9 says, they all come intent on violence. They all come intent on violence. Habakkuk, when God reveals his plans in 5 through 11 right there, when the Babylonians he's waiting to be corrected. Look at 12 through 17 right there. He says, how long, Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Then why do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You have made people like the fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his net. He gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices his net. He burns incense. For his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? Habakkuk's second complaint. When we think about what God's word is telling us here, we think about why, Lord? Why do these things happen? Well, to answer it, when you look at the big ideas in Habakkuk, you see that God is holy and just. He's not indifferent regarding sin and injustice. God will punish the wicked at the right time. The righteous wait faithfully God's purpose to be fulfilled. And God's goodness can be seen in the worst situation. His ways are not our ways, is the one thing to take home today. His ways are not our ways. So when you look at the last part right there, when the Babylonians eventually came against Judah, they came as being sent by the Lord. It wasn't that they themselves didn't want to come, but God allowed their sinful desire to conquer Judah. If God had not allowed them to do that, they never would have conquered Judah, and God's people would not have been exiled out of the promised land. Now, Habakkuk didn't know this at the time, but we see on down the story, to find out the rest of the story, you have to know that there is a plan for God's timing. There is a plan for things that go on in our lifetimes that we see. And a lot of times we don't understand, and we look at the injustice and we look at the things around us and we go, this is not right. Is it okay to ask the questions why and how? Absolutely. We serve a God that's that big. We do. But God's word also tells us that his ways, our ways are not his ways. That's something totally different. We always have to be ready to be on point. Look at what 2:1 says right there. This is what Habakkuk, I love this part right here. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. We pray all the time. God's word tells us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 says, rejoice always, right? Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We pray, we ask God, but how has God answered those prayers? We see Habakkuk, he says, I will stand and wait for your answer. I will see exactly what you're going to say to me. I wonder how long he actually had to wait, was my question. You ever had a small child get mad at a store and poke out their bottom lip, and Tanya and I used to call it popping a squat, you know, just that's it. They're done. Temper tantrum. It doesn't remind you of a temper tantrum, but I love how Habakkuk says, I will stand at my watch and I will station myself. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. He's waiting to be protected. 1-4, he says, how long, Lord? Lord answers him in 5-11. 12-17, he asks, how? Why, Lord, why? Why do you do this? The Babylonians are obviously, their strength is their God. It's not you. He says it right there in verse 11. Guilty's people whose own strength is their God. When we think about God's word, when we think about how we go through life day by day to always keep our eyes on Christ. Benny had sent me a story a few weeks ago that I had saw, that I really enjoyed, that I wanted to share with you this morning. In Scotland, Queen Mary was strolling through the park with some children from an orphanage. And the sky turned dark and gray, and it was about to rain. And she had put over her little hood over her head, and she had gone up to the nearest house and knocked on the door and asked to borrow an umbrella. So the lady of the house didn't recognize her, and the queen had told her, I'll bring it back tomorrow, but never told her who she was. So the lady was understandably hesitant about lending a good umbrella to a total stranger. And you can understand that. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know if she'd get it back. And so she had remembered that she had an old one in the attic. One of the ribs was broken on it. There were several holes in it. But she nevertheless turned it over to the lady at the front door with a weak apology. And the next day there was another knock at the door. And this time when she opened it, a man in a gold braid stood with a big envelope in his hand. And he said, the queen sent me, he said. And he asked me to thank you for the umbrella. Oh, and the woman just fell to pieces because she had no idea that that was the queen. Oh, what have I done? How embarrassed she felt. For those of us who claim to be Christians, think about this for a minute. I wonder how we'll feel at the end of life's journey when we stand face to face with Jesus. to give an account of our stewardship, and to realize that not all times we gave God our best, but only our broken and our unwanted. It's absolutely right when Habakkuk, he questions it. He's seeing all the injustice and everything that's done wrong, and you see it too. You take a look one time around you in this world, you see the different things that are happening, and you ask the question, why God, why now? But God has a plan. God has a plan. All we have to do is keep our faith in Jesus Christ. Keep that faith in Jesus Christ to know who you serve. Now is the time to be drawing ever so near. If Solomon, the wisest man in the world, wisest man ever to live, he told you the same thing. It's a chasing after the sun. God's word is where we need to be. In God's word, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, keep those things at the forefront. Keep those things in mind. When you pray, wait for those answers. That's why he goes on to tell him that he will make a list. He will make a tablet. But he says, write down the revelations. 2:2 says, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation. Make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. Keep those journals right where we're supposed to be. And look back and see how God answers those prayers. A lot of times we lift them up, but we forget to look back and see how God answered them. Not our time, but God's time. Think about the lady with the umbrella too. For those of us who claim to be Christians, think about that. Are we giving our best every day, or are we just giving our broken and our unwanted? That was one of the best emails I think I'd gotten from Benny in a long time that really made me think about things and said, it's exactly right. Brother, that'll preach. Let's close today. Father God, we come before you, dear Lord, just thankful for this day that you have given us. And Lord, we see the book of Habakkuk. And Lord, we see that, Lord, you are everlasting. My God, my Holy One, you are right there. You've got us right where you want us. Lord, lead and guide us as a church, Father God, as we want to bring you honor and glory in everything we say and do. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there's maybe somebody in the audience today, Father God, who needs to be reminded, Father, that of your grace, God, that it covers all the sins, Lord. All we have to do is repent, Father God. Lord, may we be found humble, Lord, always knowing that our salvation, Father God, is this life is temporary, Lord, and that our salvation will carry us home to you one day. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. And we do see a lot of wrongdoings around us, Father God, but we know, Lord, your ways are not our ways, and you're doing something, Father God, in our lives, Lord, that will leave us utterly amazed, that will leave us, Father God, praising you. Father, I just pray, God, that you will be with us, Lord. Father, everybody that's, as we go to our Sunday school classes, be with each and every one of them, Lord, as we bring you honor and glory. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, God, for your house. Lord, forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us for all of our sins. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Sister Leslie. What's your closing hymn? As we stand, Leslie's going to lead us in, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Don't forget about deacons meeting today at 11:30. I guess, Brother James, you want to do it in here? Excuse me. Older men's Sunday school class is where we'll meet at 11:30. Brother John?
You mean right after Sunday school to help move some chairs back,
and that's it. Okay. Everybody got that. If the Lord's talked to you this morning, You've also got that you can come down to the altar and pray. If you've made a decision to follow Jesus, please let us know. We'd love to pray with you, whatever we can do. If you'd like to join the church, whatever God's leading you to do today, please act now.
4:13, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. As life more abundant and free, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we followed Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
You know, I love each and every one of y'all. I truly do. There is such a ton of wisdom in this room, from the older all the way down to the younger. If anybody ever needs prayer, we're available. The altar's opened, and sometimes I get it. Come see me afterwards. Brother James, our chairman, Brother Alvin sitting up here, you, Brother Benny over there, Patsy, you've got so many wonderful people. Brother Greg, Jan, that would love to pray with you. Maybe if there's something that's going on in your lives that you're not comfortable with, whatever. I know a lot of times we tend to bury those things. But you've got a church family that loves you. You've got a church family that would just love to know that you need prayer, or to know that anything might be happening in your lives, whatever we could do. I don't know who needed to hear that this morning. I just felt led to say it, that we're all imperfect people. Amen. Ain't single one of us. Ain't none of us Jesus. But we serve a Savior who He is.
Amen.
We serve a Savior. Wade Chandler, close us up today.